Bless his holy name. Amen. Book of Exodus chapter 3, if you'll go there with me. Just going to try our best to obey the Lord here today and have a message for you. I feel like this message came from some personal reflection this week. As you know, we went on vacation, and I try to use this time on vacation to re-energize a little bit, begin to praise the Lord. You ever heard of somebody getting burned out before? It's kind of a term we use. And I think I can't ever say that I have experienced an extreme burnout in my life where I didn't feel like doing anything. But I have felt before the weariness and the heaviness maybe of doing ministry. And in your own life, it could be in your job, or family, responsibilities. We all face that at times. And it doesn't mean that we have to live there or should live there, but it means that we do face it. And today I want to preach to you on fire, but not burnout. On fire, but not burnout. And I want to deal with this today that maybe you can find some relation here. I know I have just this week here recently. I've even felt like there's some things in my life that I'm going to have to come away from a little bit, kind of lessen my circle of ministry some and other things, because I do want to focus here more at the church and do more. I want to see the church grow. I want to see some things. I feel like God's just spoken to my heart there. But it's easy to get wore out, isn't it? Here recently, as many of you know, I do some online schooling, pastoring. I've been trying to help there some at the Teen Challenge. And I found myself here recently saying, Lord, man, I need some strength. I feel like I'm giving out so much. And ministers, you really could understand what I'm saying. When you're giving out spiritually and giving out and pouring out and pouring out and pouring out, man, it feels good just to take in, don't it? Amen. That's why this week, like I've said, even though I was on vacation, I still found myself at about 7 different church services. And man, I was just drinking it in. I hands raised, crying like a baby. I mean, preach to me, preacher. Step on my toes in the altars, praying for. Just been a good time in the Lord. And I needed that. And I do appreciate that. Amen. But we look at this today in the book of Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to read some verses to you. You've heard this before. I'm not going to probably tell you nothing astounding or new to you, but I want to refresh this in our minds today. Let's look at this, if you would. Exodus chapter 3, the famous story of this 80-year-old man in a wilderness that finally accepts his call to go back to Egypt and do what God wants him to do. And God's timing is perfect, of course. But it says, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in the flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And this thing wasn't even on. Praise the Lord. I said, man, I feel like I'm in a hole up here. All right. Okay. It was not consumed. Verse 3, and Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Okay, this thing has got a mind of its own. It keeps turning off. At PA systems, you love them, but also at times you think they're demon-possessed. I don't know what to think about them at times. Amen. So just give me some monitor up here, brother. I do appreciate it. Verse 3, let's try it again. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight while this bush is not burnt. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. He said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and a land that is large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hevites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Amen. One other verse, if you would. Go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. If you would, go there with me. Amen. Right before the book of Joshua. Deuteronomy, chapter 33. When you get there, just give me a good amen. All right. I'm just going to read one verse there. If you're not there, you can just... it's Deuteronomy 33 and verse 16. If you look there with me.
And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the good will of him that dwelt in the what? Bush. For the good will of him that dwelt in the bush. I want to preach to you once again on fire, but not burned out. And let's just pray. Holy Ghost, I've read several verses of Scripture this congregation today. And Holy Ghost, I know on a Sunday morning sometimes it's easy to get a little weary, maybe after Sunday school. But Holy Ghost, I would that some strength and energy would enter this room right now in every heart as we listen. I feel like I've got a word from heaven for this congregation. God, you know who needs to hear this, who is on the verge of a burnout, or who is feeling that weariness in ministry and life and just in everyday living. And I would right now, in the name of Jesus, you would re-energize, rejuvenate, and strengthen right now in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Today in this message, we are going to discuss this bush. Oft times in the story here in Exodus chapter 3, focus a lot on the calling of Moses, which is fine, and we will touch on some of that. But I would have to say today that this is probably the most famous bush in history. Why is that? Because over 3,000 years later, we're still talking about it. We're still preaching about it. I would have to say, most likely it is the only bush that God had ever dwelt upon or in. And as we look at this today, as we're talking about this bush, we would understand that no other bush could probably acclaim to this, that God used this bush to preach a message to a weary, burnout prophet on the backside of a desert. And as we look at this today, these burning bush experiences I want to talk to you about is needed in every single life that is in this room. Doesn't matter who you are or what stage of life you're in. If you're doing the will of God, if you are in ministry, you are going to feel the pressures of life in this life that you live. Once again, it does not mean that you have to be defeated or discouraged, but you will feel the weariness of ministry in this life, the weariness of ministry in your home or trying to witness on the job or be effective in the society. And just before you think that that's never you, if you never feel that weight of pressure of ministry, it's probably because you're not doing anything. I'm going to say that again. If you never feel the burnout mentality or trying to come into your life, it's probably because you are doing very little for the kingdom of God. And just in case you say, well, I'm different, you would have to argue with Jesus, because Jesus found himself at times needing rest. You find him asleep on a boat. You find him at different times going to pray, needed to get re-energized. You find him in the Garden of Gethsemane as angels are coming to minister unto him. You find him on the backside of a desert in the 40-day temptation. The angels came and strengthen him. We all need strength and perspective in this life that we live. Amen. So we look at this today. I'm going to focus today on Moses first and foremost. Moses is a burnt out prophet. Now, depending on what you read or how much study you've done into the life of Moses, I am one that believes that Moses knew his purpose when he was yet in Egypt. I believe as he came to age, we understand there are three different sections of Moses' life. 40 years in Pharaoh's palace, 40 years there in the desert, and 40 years leading the children of Israel. But that first 40 years of his life, as we study the Bible and as we look in the book of Hebrews and even look at some passages there in the book of Psalms, it seems that Moses was a man who had some insight that he was to be used of God in some format or some way. Not saying he understood everything, not saying he had a full picture of it all, but something happened one day when he seen a Hebrew slave being beat by an Egyptian, and you would know the story. All of a sudden, Moses there, you can say, well, he was just aggravated at the man abusing the Hebrew. I believe in his mind, he realized that he was supposed to help the children of Israel there. And so here it is. We find this young Hebrew boy, this Hebrew man by the name of Moses. And here it is. He kills that Egyptian. My mind, as I study this and look at this, I believe that he had chosen maybe in his own mind to try to motivate the will of God in his life. He tried to do something that was good. But Moses has a problem there. When you kill one Egyptian, what are you going to do about the 11 million other Egyptians that are there? just so to speak. I don't have an exact number. What are you going to do about the millions of other Egyptians that still had the children of Israel in bondage? So it almost seems here that Moses is this man on the backside of the desert. He got weary because of that. He was frustrated because of that. He realized he didn't do it just right, so he took off into the wilderness. Maybe he felt like Pharaoh, we know Pharaoh was trying to kill him. He takes off into the wilderness. He finds himself living as a shepherd there underneath his father-in-law Midian, the priest. He's there on the backside of this desert. We don't know how many years he did this. I believe it was several years he was back here, and Moses was content living a second-class life. What I mean by that is there's a calling on his life. There's something he's supposed to be doing, but he finds himself on the backside of this desert. Maybe he felt like he blew it. Maybe he felt like he messed everything up. Maybe he felt like there was no way that God was going to use him, because here it is, he's on the backside of the desert, and guess what? He's all right with that. He's just going to do what God, he's just going to do that and get by in life. Let me put it this way. He's just going to sit on the church pew and do nothing. He's just going to come to church and do nothing. He's not going to be involved in ministry. He's not, you know what he's going to do? I'm just going to hold on and make it to heaven is his mentality. I'm just going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be a moral person. I'm going to do things that are right. I'm going to work my job. But I'll tell you this, God will never leave you there. Amen. When there's something that God wants you to do, you may be burned out and frustrated with that process. You may have got a hit of God, and maybe you felt like you let yourself down, or maybe you messed everything up. But God will never let you to resort to just being another citizen in this fallen world. There's something that God wants you to do in your life. It doesn't matter who you are. That does not mean that you're called to preach. That does not mean you're called to teach. But you are called to do something for the kingdom of God. So isn't it amazing here that Moses is here on the backside of this desert, and several today, as I said, would just want to survive just like him. But God knew just where he was. It's easy, as I would say to you once again, it is easy to get burned out. But God will not leave you there, and you never can resort to just being another person sitting on a pew, or just another person that's not doing anything. God has a purpose for your life, even when you feel like you are burnt out and don't want to do anything else for his kingdom. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm going to be honest with you. There have been several times in ministry I had a big vision. And I went to do that big vision, and guess what? It wasn't nearly as big as I thought it was. Or it wasn't the right timing. I remember one time trying to start some different ministries at the old church. I'm going to preach at the jailhouse. I ended up preaching at the jailhouse by myself, not all the time, about every week of my life. And finally, men like Brother Shane would help out when he came along, and different ones. I believe he did help out some and did some preaching there. But it is hard to find a preacher to help you preach in a jailhouse. I mean, I remember I called a preacher up, "Hey man, I've got about 20 inmates want to hear you preach." Man, I'm tired, man. I've been working all day. I thought to myself, are these folks even called to preach? I'm serious. I wondered. I even had to get some of the other people in the church. I had to find men like my Uncle David, different ones. Ain't called to preach. Can you come? Won't you come down here and speak these in the jailhouse? I'm telling you this, brother and sister. God's not interested in you just resorting to being neutral. He's got something for you to do. I know life is easy to get burned out on. I know you may have a job and you have a schedule, and there may be school for the younger ones, and there may be ministry here and ministry there. But you've got to take your time. Don't give up. You can be on fire for God and still not be burned out. God can give you energy. He can give you strength. He can give you anointing. He can touch you. We must not get burned out doing ministry and working for the kingdom of God. We look at this today. This is where Moses was, on the backside of this desert, but God was going to get his attention through a bush. Now, I know we've talked about this our whole lives. We teach on it in Sunday school. Even the kids love this story. A bush. A dried up, brittle bush. Maybe the sheep come and eat the leaves off there occasionally. Maybe his only audience is rocks. It isn't like some lively animal. So he uses an old, dried up bush. An ordinary plant. Something that's just out there. It is dry. It is brittle. It is nothing fancy. But I'll tell you this. It may be dry and it may be brittle, but that's the best ones that are burned. Anybody ever noticed that? Man, when I lived in North Carolina years ago, the richer folks, we always had an old Christmas tree. And you don't have to be rich to have a live Christmas tree. It's really a joke here. But I had friends, man, they have three or four Christmas trees and all alive. Do you ever seen a dry Christmas tree burn up? Man, we'd go out there about 20 Christmas trees and see the biggest fire of your life you ever seen. Because when it's dry and it's brittle, that is the time that it burns the best. That is the time that it's consumed the most. But notice this, God was going to choose this bush to speak through it. Much like the day and the humanity in which we live. When God has chosen the church, He's chosen a preacher, He's chosen some outlet or some inlet of that form where He's going to speak through that. Isn't it amazing when God can take an ordinary bush, He can use it as a minister, He can use it as a preacher, He can use it as a platform into somebody's life that is weary, that is burnt out, that is discouraged. I'll tell you today, brothers and sisters, don't you ever overlook the days when God uses those small things, such as the bushes or something like that or some form. Maybe it's a Sunday school lesson. Maybe it's a song. Maybe it's a testimony. But God can use many different things to preach to and get our attention in the day that we live in. I went to a service the other night there in Georgia at Canaanland Youth Camp. And man, the junior choir got up there and sang. It was probably, I would say, maybe 50 juniors. And I would say probably anywhere ages between 5 to 12 or something like that. Man, they got singing a song about the beautiful name of Jesus. Man, the place just blew up. I mean, people were going to the altars. And you know, when 8-year-olds and 6-year-olds up there bawling and worshiping God, you know it's real. They don't even fake it. It's real. They're weeping. They're crying. They're worshiping God. I mean, the place just took off. I thought to myself even the other day, God, if you have to use 8-year-olds and 6-year-olds and maybe even children, use them as a burning bush in our lives, whatever it is that has us complacent and lukewarm and has us being burned out, my God of heaven, use the children of the day. Use a song. Use a hymnal. Use a brother, use an elder, but God, let us have a burning bush experience in our lives that we are not content, we are not dead, we are not dry. But if you think you're hiding there in your complacency, in your lack of prayer, in your lack of doing the will of God, you say, I can't do it no more, I can't stretch my hand out no more, I can't do ministry no more. God, wake us up today, use a burning bush even in this service. Max Lucado, I disagree with his view on hyper grace, but he wrote an illustration one time about Hank and the mop bucket. He said, Hank is down there at the school. He's a janitor. He's mopping the floors. All of a sudden, Hank looks over, and the mop bucket is glowing red. The mop bucket says, Hank. He compared that to the burning bush in Moses. How uncommon it was for God to use such an ordinary thing. I thought that illustration was amazing because Moses was not going to this mountain to talk to a bush. He's just surviving, he's just making it. His mind is not on going back to Egypt. As a matter of fact, that's the last thing on his mind. My God of heaven. I would right now that the last thing on your mind that you told God you wouldn't do, I wish God would refresh that in your heart right now and make you do it. Lord, I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to do this. I wish God had highlighted in you so big that you have to stand there. You have to be rebellious and tell God no, because you can't deny when He's talking to you. Come on. There's too many times we find ourselves neutral. You know how many times people get on their deathbed and they know they rejected the call of God to do something on their life? What a tragedy that is, because they have ignored the burning bushes of their life. They have ignored the times of intimacy with Christ in their life where God was trying to get their attention. God was trying to wake them up, but they refused to do that. But notice right here, this bush right here, the word dwelt there in Deuteronomy 33 and 16. It says the God that dwelt in the bush. That word right there is actually the same word we get Shekinah glory from. The Shekinah glory of God was upon this bush. It was there. It was God, the angel of the Lord. It was a theophany, a Christophany. It was an Old Testament picture of Jesus. He was upon that bush and He was getting the attention of Moses. We look at this. The entire ministry of the bush was to proclaim to a burned out prophet that God could be trusted. I was going to title this The Ministry of the Bush, but I didn't do it. Because I want you to get this today. That was the purpose in the ministry of this bush. To get Moses energized. To get Moses to the place that he's not sitting there. But that burning bush is proclaiming to him, to this burned out prophet, that God can be trusted. That God is faithful. That he can proclaim the covenant faithfulness of God to this burned out man by the name of Moses. So notice this today. Because this message was for Moses, but this message is for you too today. When you're in this room, there's a message to you from this burning bush. Number one, this message to the burned out prophet echoes to us today. Number one, this burning bush shows us God's protection. And Moses looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Man, I got reading commentaries on this. Man, there's a lot of theories about this. There's one theory is, and I'm not against this theory. The theory is that this is a picture of the children of Israel in Egypt, how they're not consumed, but they're multiplying. And we go to that verse in Deuteronomy 4:20. It says, but the Lord have taken you out, forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt. We understand that Egypt's compared to an iron furnace, and the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt, and they were not consumed. But if you don't mind me having a little liberty today, so notice this, if I preach it this way, so you have this burned out prophet who knows what it is to be disappointed and consumed by faith. But God sets this bush in the midst of him, wanting him to view the bush and notice that it's not consumed. Look at this lowly bush. It's ordinary. It's on fire. It's proclaiming my glory, and it's not burned out. And I find encouragement to this today. When God is upon me in ministry, when God is upon you in ministry, I can minister and do the will of God, and I don't have to worry about being burned out when the Shekinah glory of God is upon us and moving through us. Brothers and sisters, you don't have to be defeated and discouraged in ministry and life. You can have the glory of God sustain you and keep you and strengthen you even in the midst of ministry. I have experienced this in my life. That when we preached in Africa and evangelized a little bit, and there was one time preaching that we had preached like 19 times that month, and that's nothing. Some evangelists preach every day, all the time. And I remember I got weary. I got sick. I remember one night I felt like I ate something wrong and I was throwing up. And we were broke as a joke. I mean, we didn't have any money. You live from offering to offering. And I remember saying to myself, Lord, I've got to preach tomorrow, but the place I've got to preach at is 3 hours away. But I'm throwing up. I got up the next morning. I'm still sick. You know what I did? I packed the car up and I started driving. All I know is I went from throwing up to preaching to that pulpit that night, and I felt better than I've ever felt my whole life. What am I saying is this. In ministry, you've got to do. You've got to go. You've got to participate. And at times, physically, that can be draining to us. And we are allowed times of reprieve and relaxation. But I'm telling you as well, there's something supernatural about ministry. As we go and we do, the Holy Ghost can help us. We don't have to be consumed. We can be strengthened. We can feel the touch of God, even in the midst of burning and doing the will of God. It's possible to be on fire without burning out. Second point, this bush testifies of God's holiness. Now, if you're not planning on doing anything for Jesus, this message won't mean 2 cents to you. If you're fine living, just in mediocre life, and you're just trying to make it to the rapture because you care less about anything else, this ain't going to mean nothing to you. But if you're trying to work for the kingdom of God, this will mean something to you. If you're striving and reaching, this will help you. God reminds him of his protection, but reminds him well that sometimes people get burned out because they mistreat the holy things of God. Moses turns aside to see. You know what he's going to do? He's going to walk up to the bush, but hold up. Moses, take off thy shoes, for this is what? This is holy ground. Brothers and sisters, Moses is being warned here. Don't enter into this place haphazardly. Do not remember this, Moses. This is an interaction with the Holy God. Church, we must remember this is an interaction with the Holy God. This is not a game. This is a holy place. When we worship, remember it's holy. When we study, remember it's holy. When we minister, remember it's holy. Don't approach this just as another bush, just as another church, just as another ministry. This is holy ground. Do you know what the concept of holiness should do to you and me? When we talk about the holiness of God, the last thing you should feel is holy. Amen. When I view and glimpse the transcendent, almighty holiness of God, I'll tell you what happened to Isaiah. He's going to fall on his face. I'll tell you what's going to happen on John the Allopatmos. He's going to fall to his face. God is so holy that our filthy rags is self-righteousness. It says our self-righteousness is filthy rags. He is so holy that apart from the blood of Jesus, yes, the blood of Jesus is holy and makes us holy through the blood of Jesus. Yes, that is true. But I'll tell you this, we are not holy in the same concept as God. Transcendence holy. We still have fallen bodies. You still are going to bleed. You still can get sick. God cannot because He's holy. I'll tell you when people get burnt out. When they try to operate in ministry in their own holiness. Oh yes. When they put on the breastplate of righteousness as the breastplate of their own self-righteousness. Which really, let me tell you what your breastplate of self-righteousness looked like. It's a breastplate of filthy rags. That's all it is. I'll tell you where I've got exhausted in ministry before. I'm just being transparent. And you say you can be too transparent. Not in ministry. I like helping each other. I remember one time I got burnt out pretty much because, man, I had such a self-righteous attitude everywhere I went. I was going to get them to act and talk and look just like me. And I thought I was the standard. But my, the Holy Ghost won't let you live there. Man, the Holy Ghost began to deal with me and strengthen me and encourage me and lift me up and realize that His holiness is what counts. His holiness is true. He lifted me up to the place where I could glimpse His holiness, and I had to fall down and say, woe is me. And apart from the call from off the altar, I realize today the Shekinah glory of God is the grace of God. It rests upon us and in our midst. You will become weary when you operate in your own righteousness, but take off your shoes. This is holy ground. This is His ministry. This is His church. This is His pulpit. This is His platform. And we must operate from Him and not from us. I would lose count of naming the ministers who have backslidden trying to operate in their own holiness. It doesn't work. Number three, this bush, the third sermon he preaches to Moses here, is the message of God's covenant faithfulness. Listen. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon him. So notice this. Moses, those precious promises that I gave your ancestors are still going to happen. You thought you blew it back in Egypt, but I am the God of your fathers. Notice this. He says, now I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not that I was the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Isn't it good to know He's God and He has promises? Covenant promises? Sometimes we mention the word covenant and people are like, oh man, one of them big words. No, it's not. This is God's covenant faithfulness to you. If you serve the Lord Jesus Christ, if you love Him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, if you do His will, if you seek you first the kingdom of God, you shall not lack anything. He can meet your needs. If you consider the sparrows, we have covenant promises from God. He told Moses this. I want you right now in your own heart, think about the promises of God. Let this bush preach to you today. What promises are on your life that God has touched you and helped you and energizes you through? I've got a few promises in my life that I know God has given me. It doesn't matter if somebody told me that God didn't make the promises. I would say, let all men be a liar and God be true. God's given them to me. Matter of fact, I've shared this with you before, but even this week there at Canaan Youth Camp, I hadn't been there since 2008 or 2009. I looked at the spot in 2008, 2009 where a man prophesied to me, and it wasn't one of them things that somebody just made it up. I mean, he was speaking like he was reading my life like a book, and when it hit my heart, it was like my heart was burning within me. I knew it was God. I I took a little time this week to look at that spot where that happened at. And I told the devil, I've got some promises. Shut up. If you don't believe in using that word, hush up. Be quiet. What I'm saying is, I've got promises. God has promised me some things. He has loved me and given me some precious promises. But what about your life? Is there not a promise in your life somewhere? If there's nothing there that God has spoken to you before, it may not have been an audible voice or a prophecy, but if you ever picked up the Bible before and read something from God and said, that was for me, this moment right now, I'm going to stand on it. I've got the promises. This bush reminded Moses that you have promises and God is going to meet those promises. Fourth thing the bush preached to Moses is this, God's covenant compassion. Aren't you glad God cares? Listen to what he says. I won't be much longer. And the Lord said, I have surely seen. Hey man, aren't you glad he can see us? Seeing the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. And I have heard. So God sees, God hears. Aren't you glad God can see and hear? And their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know. Whew. God said, I've seen you, I've heard you, and I know. Which means I understand. Brothers, hear this, sisters, hear this right now. It is encouraging in life when somebody says, look, I see you. I know what you're going through. It's encouraging in life when somebody says, like, I heard your prayers. I heard what you're going through. But it's something else when somebody can say, I know exactly what you're going through. Amen. I've heard it said before now, and I've never had cancer, but some in this room I think have. But if you ever had cancer before, I've heard this, that when somebody has cancer and somebody is a cancer survivor, when they go to that person and they say, look, you know, you have cancer. I had cancer one time. I made it. Keep your head up. It means a lot to that person that's going through it. Let me tell you why. That person that's had the chemo drip knows exactly what they're feeling. They felt the nausea. They felt the long days. They felt the despair. And so when they said, look, I can say somebody that's got cancer, I see you and I hear you. But it's something else when I can get down on their level or somebody can get down on their level and said, I see you, I hear you, but I know what you're facing. And God can say that to us. I see you, I hear you, and I know exactly what you're going through. Don't that mean the world to you that we have a high priest that knows? That no, I want you to get that. I feel the Holy Ghost right here for you to get that in your heart. He knows everything you ever face. He knows. You say, well, I've been tempted. He knows. Well, I felt discouraged. I felt the burnout. Guess what? He cried, Father, if there be any other way. He knows. You say, well, I've been hurt. I've been rejected. He knows. You can't list a thing in your life that he does not know about. But notice this, as I come to a close on my last point here. Not only did God give them protection and holiness and faithfulness and compassion, but I love this, and it's probably my favorite part of this message. God gave Moses a very simple commission. Moses, when you get to Pharaoh, that haughty, prideful, considered to be the greatest king in this world, I've got a little message for you. It's four words. Let my people go. This burning bush here is reminding Moses a simple fact that when the great I am has commissioned you, we don't have to look at this world with fear. We don't have to look at this world and guess how we're going to reach them. We can look at the mouth of hell and we can utter these words. By the great I am, Jesus Christ, let my people go. If you would stand to your feet as my wife comes to the piano. I would warn you and caution you once again in this morning message, and please take this to heart, please. When we set out in our own strength trying to fill our own plan, we will end up in the wilderness of failure and ultimately we will be burned out. You go ahead. Try to live this life within your own strength. You're going to get weary. God help us. You're going to get weary. You're going to get discouraged. In these seasons of weariness, God is more than faithful to reveal Himself to us. He enables us to depend on His strength. And God is wanting you right now in this service to have that burning bush experience. How many wants to be on fire for God? Do you mean that? Because I will tell you this, when you're on fire for God, it can get hot. The pressure's real. God will use you. But how many wants to be on fire for God and stay on fire for God? I have looked at the ministries sitting in ashes where you almost say, you did run well. What did hinder? I thought to myself, Lord, I don't want to be a statistic in ministry. Because failure is all around us, brothers and sisters. But God, keep me on fire. My Lord, do you know that fire within us? There was a certain sister in Ohio. I can't even remember her name. But man, it could be the deadest service you've ever been in your life. Old saying is, dry as cracker juice. You'll get it in a minute if you think about it. You get in that service, that sister would get up there, it's so dead. She'd get up there and sing like she's having a personal revival, like she's on fire. And I remember Brother Israel said one time, that sister always carries a fire in her belly. The old saying is, she always is on fire for God. I want you to think about this and be honest. What would Abundant Life Tabernacle look like if every person stayed on fire? I'm not talking about a revival comes and we get excited and the evangelist leaves and 2 weeks we're back in the same old rituals of things. You know, and I've been there. I'm not trying to judge you outside of myself. Revivals are a good shot in the arm to wake you up sometime and say, man, I love when a man of God comes through and gets anointed and touches and helps us and encourages us. But you ever notice that it's easy to fall back into a rut of ritualism? My challenge to you is this. And I know sometimes that we lose the fire of revival because we get burnt out. Because I'll tell you what happens. We go back to the same lifestyle, the same methods, and we get burnt out. But I'm asking God for a lasting fire within our hearts. What would it look like? I would ask you again. If every service we're singing, I mean, folks' heart is just overflowing where they just love singing. Not worried about anything else, but sing, worshiping God. What would our churches be like? I've been challenged even this week in prayer. I said, God, I want to be on fire. If I'm on fire by myself, it matters not. If I'm the only one burning and I know there's others, I'm definitely not putting myself up here and you down here. God, let us all burn. Let us all be on fire for the kingdom of God. Amen. Can we stand around the front of the church today, if you will? Let's gather in the pews as we do some on some occasions. Help us, Holy Ghost.